Our first guest of the hour is Derek Scissors, Chief Economist, China Beige Book International. Derek, there's a lot of conflicting analysis on China, so we'd love to have you stick your oar in. Obviously, a big part of the debate, a lot of people say there's just way too much debt, not enough reform. The other camp says, well, with growth at nearly 7%, you can just sweat out the NPLs. I know you guys think that that probably is not possible.
Well, I mean, you could sweat out the NPLs if you weren't relying on more debt. So a big development in the first quarter was we had the Chinese report nominal GDP faster than their debt accumulation, and that wasn't true in the second quarter. So even though the headline GDP number looks the same, the reform versus debt debate has shifted back toward China isn't deleveraging. It's leveraging more slowly, but it's not deleveraging, and your growth is not getting you out of the debt trap.
Well, how do you actually get out of that debt trap? That's the $64 trillion question, isn't it, Derek?
Well, I think they know. They just don't have the will, especially not in a year where you have a Communist Party Congress. You have to give up on growth for a little while, meaning you have to stop borrowing and stop having real estate drive one part of your economy. And, you know, rather than saying the steel industry, it's time to reduce capacity, you actually have to reduce capacity, which is not happening. So they're not willing to take the pain of the lack of growth you have to suffer some for some period in order to get your resources directed efficiently and stop borrowing and supporting zombie firms and the like. Maybe in 2018, after the Party Congress, someone will be willing to step up and do this. But right now, we're still on the track of borrow money and keep the fast pace of economic activity.
Unemployment is still fairly low in China. Why do they need to pursue growth so much?
That's a great question. I think there's a little bit, which you have in every country, of living in the past. As we know, the Chinese had an enormous demographic boom. It just started to peter out really 5 years ago when the labor force started to stabilize and then shrink. And they're still living with the idea that we have to have 9% GDP growth to create jobs, which is never really true, or 8%. And they're just not willing to abandon that yet. You've seen them guide growth down, but they haven't stepped away from job creation as being absolutely necessary.
Derek, what do you think about the PBOC getting a little bit more teeth, a little bit more power on the regulatory front? Is that the right move by President Xi?
In principle, it is. They do need a central regulator. That's been discussed for a long time. But in practice, the PBOC is not independent of the party. And so we're still back to whether the top leadership has the nerve to pull the trigger on a bad bank or a bad state-owned enterprise. So they're setting the framework up right, but the execution has always been the big challenge.
Well, execution is always a big challenge, isn't it? But politics is really playing out there at the moment in China as well. And what do you make of the downfall of the Chongqing chief, Sun Zhengchai? I mean, what does that tell us about, well, how far this campaign against tigers and flies is going?
It's really hard to believe that this is a corruption move. I mean, he was put in there as a trusted member of the party to replace, you know, because Chongqing was the site of Bo Xilai's sort of near insurrection. This looks like a way to get a Xi Jinping ally into this job. In other words, it's not about corruption. It's about getting Xi as many friends as he can before the party Congress. Of course, I don't know that. Chinese politics is very speculative. But this guy was very trusted by everyone just a couple of years ago, and now we're getting a Xi ally in his place.
Does that show a bit of weakness on the president's part? And we also have all these tycoons who've been pulled to the side, not least of which the latest one from Dalian Wanda's Wang Jianlin.
Yeah, the outward investment stuff, I think, is separate. Remember, last year you had this rush of Chinese private money getting out of the country because of, in my opinion, bad exchange rate policy. It wasn't done according to Chinese regulations. There was a lot of leakage past capital control. So now these guys are getting their comeuppance. I think that's just a function of the Chinese government saying you can't break our laws and get away with it. It may take us a while.
You set that aside, the first part of the question. Does it show weakness or strength on the part of the president?
I think the fact that he got one of his allies in what has been a very sensitive post, Chongqing party secretary, shows strength. All of this is speculative, but we do know there's one more Xi ally in a key position, and you know, in a consensus-based leadership, another one of your friends is a good thing.
Well, indeed. How far has that been replicated across all the provinces?
Oh, I mean, you know, that gets into tea leaf reading, right? Well, they knew each other back 17 years ago. Are they buddies or are they not buddies? We haven't had mass replacements of people, so we don't have a clear trend that says he's losing or he's winning. That kind of puts more emphasis on this one. This is a very high-profile decision. It's a signal to the rest of the party. I can get my guy in a high-profile post. Take note.
So, Derek, investors will be looking at your research quite a bit. Is it right that China and Hong Kong, at least in terms of the equity markets, seem to be, going separate ways?
Yeah, and there's no real reason for China and Hong Kong. If you're asking me if China and Hong Kong, that they're not moving together, the markets themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it was very telling yesterday that you've got this regulatory crackdown. China sinks, Taiwan moves up. Hong Kong was up.
Right, unless there's a currency move, which does really matter to Hong Kong because it's capital movement through Hong Kong, there's no reason for China and Hong Kong to move together. I mean, our big story on China, other than the strong growth, is that we're concerned about inventory buildup. And, inventory buildup in China is a big worry for corporate profits, but it's not a big worry for Hong Kong.